we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Are you ready for a week of victory? Paul says he is, so praise God. Me too. And so we're glad that you tuned in. And so thank you for listening to WMIE. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we trust that you are having a great day. I want to invite you out to our church this Sunday. We have some guests that are going to be with us. Jonathan Cashman and his wife, they go by the Cashmans. They are going to be leading worship and preaching in our service this weekend. And so we want to invite you out, to be a part of that. And, my worship leader and my piano player, they are both gone. This weekend, every year on Memorial Day weekend, they're gone, different reasons, but they're both gone this weekend every year. And, in the past, my daughter-in-law, has led worship for us and filled in, but, this year she has been, busy giving us our first grandchild. And that's the promotion that we have been mentioning here. We're looking forward to this new, responsibility that we've been given to be grandparents and make sure that we provide ample doses of love for that young man that has come into our life. And so, but with her having a baby, she's not able to lead worship for us this year. And so we have the Cashmans. They used to lead worship at Winter Park Calvary Assembly over on the north side of Orlando, the big glass church that sits right there off I-4. That's where they led worship. And now they are traveling and speaking and singing. They're going to be with us Sunday morning. So we would like to invite you to come and be a part of that special service that we're going to have that day. We're really looking forward to what God is going to do in that service. We will also want to say thank you to Bill and Heidi Andrike. Heidi leads worship for us. They actually go away and celebrate their anniversary because they got married right about this time. And so we want to say thank you to them for their faithfulness, and also let you know that if you need air conditioning work here in the central part of the county, that you can reach Bill, 759-3284. If you need him, I would call him the early part of the week, because I'm pretty sure the latter part of the week is when they're going away. So 759-3284, if they can be a blessing to you in your life. So with that being said, we want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, and I'm going to read the remaining portion of the chapter, the part that we didn't get to on Friday's broadcast. We ended, "For God is with us." For God is with us. For God is with us. And, you know, I think back to, I believe it was when Bill Clinton was inaugurated, and he was giving his inaugural address, and he was talking about how when he took his oath, he was saying, the phrase is, "So help me God." And he said that when he said that, he was thinking, "So help me God. God, help me." And so if I can just start off today's broadcast by reminding us and maybe putting a little different emphasis on the fact that it's God who's with us, the Almighty God, the supernatural, holy King of glory. there's a shortage of words that are sufficient to describe how majestic and how powerful and how holy he is. If you have ever experienced victory in your life, it is because of God. For God is with us. And so I pray that this week that you will just begin to thank him right now for the fact that he is with us and he is with you right now, that you are not left to your own devices. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those movies where two people are fighting the same enemy and all of a sudden one of them says, "You stay here." And the one of them appears to disappear and they're gone completely from the picture, and it leaves the impression that that the one is left there fighting the enemy all by themselves, not realizing that the one who has moved out of the screenshot has moved to a different vantage point, not for safety's sake, but for victory's sake. And I want you to know today that no matter what you are facing, that God is with you. And he is on the throne, and he carries a powerful scepter, and his word shakes mountains. At his word, islands flee. At his word, things come into existence. And so he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. It is God who is with us. So anyway, verse number 11. Isaiah chapter 8 says, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, 'Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken.'" Verse 16, "Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, 'Seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter,' should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living, to the law and to the testimony? If they do not speak according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness." So today I want to focus on verse number 11 to begin with. "For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people." I will never forget a phone call I got probably, it was back in 1997, and a man called me that I had never had a face-to-face conversation with, and he said these words, "The strong hand of the Lord has been upon me. The strong hand of the Lord has been upon me." And the hand of the Lord moved that man's heart to act in a bountiful way on behalf of Merit Assembly of God. The strong hand of the Lord was upon me. And that's what Isaiah says. He spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me. A lot of people go through life with this attitude: who are you to tell me how to live my life? Well, I want you to know that if you think that my opinion is what prompts my mouth to speak, you are mistaken. There are people asking me questions right now, and I tell them, I don't have an answer for that, because I don't. a lot of times people will come to me as a pastor, and they will ask me for advice and wisdom. And one of the things that I want to teach them is I want to teach them to pray and hear from God themselves so that they learn to hear his voice. So learning to hear his voice, I go to his word and I find out what his word has to say, because he is never going to violate this word that is settled forever. It is impossible for God to lie. I want to repeat that. It is impossible for God to lie. And so if you are hearing things that will give you permission to do things that are contrary to the word of God, it is not God that is speaking to you. Now, I have been given a rather bold personality, which is kind of amazing, because I'm a natural born introvert. But I have been given this holy boldness at times where people said, God has told me to do this. And I will just flat out go up to them and say, no, he hadn't. No, he hadn't. I don't say that in an arrogant manner. I say that because what they are saying that God told them to do doesn't line up with his word. And we are called to judge. We're called to judge prophetic words. We are called to judge things that other people say. And we do it in the light of what God has said. And that's because we need to be instructed. Do you realize the things that God wants to teach us? Maybe one of these days I will do a series on the things that God wants to teach you and I from his word. And so it says here that he instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. I want to repeat that to you one more time. He instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. In other words, this prophet of God was admonished that he was not supposed to fit in with society. He was supposed to be a person of distinction. The church is not supposed to be so congealed with the society as a whole that there is nothing that causes us to be distinction. When we no longer call sin the things that the Bible calls sin, we are missing our calling. We are trying to grace people into heaven without any understanding of what God is saying. And so I have some personal feelings. They're very strong feelings. I am thankful to be a part of the Assemblies of God. In the Assemblies of God, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the highest official in the fellowship, which this has happened. This is not, if you are in doctrinal error, they will bring correction into your life. That happened very early in our existence, where there was a person, he was very influential. He held the office of what's called general superintendent, fell into doctrinal error, and they removed him from office. He repented, embraced sound teaching, received instruction, and guess what? They restored him. They voted him back into office at a different time, because it's all about instruction. When was the last time you learned anything? When was the last time God taught you something? When was the last time that as you were reading through the Bible, you said, wow, where has that verse been all of my life? I love it when I'm reading my Bible, and I read my Bible a lot, when I read it and the Holy Spirit brings something to light, something to life that I have never experienced before, and he teaches me something from it. I'm very thankful for that. He said, don't walk in the way this people walk. And you and I, we could look at a lot of different things. There's a lot of things that are going that are cultural. There are things that go on that are opinionated. There are things that are theoretical. We are not supposed to walk according to those things. We are supposed to conduct ourselves in a manner that befits the scriptures. We are supposed to live holy and biblically sound lives. And when society refuses to live that way, when they refuse to walk that way, we can't change just to make them like us. here's the thing. If I live my life trying to please people, I'm no longer walking in the freedom that Christ provides for me. I'm living my life as a slave, as a bond servant to those people that I'm trying to please. And there's a lot of people that do that in life. People are always trying to achieve success by making another person happy. I don't want to live that way. I want to live my life trying to make the most out of every opportunity that God gives me, because he's the one I want to hear say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So walk as a person of distinction. I love it how society is all the time saying, you know, be your own person, be your person of distinction. And while you're doing it, think just like everybody else, have the same hairstyle everybody else has, wear the same clothes that everybody else has. Because as soon as you buy into that, we're going to flip the equation. We're going to change everything. And you're going to end up looking like a doofus all over again. Not sure doofus is an actual word, but it is today. Because here's what I came to a realization, you know, and I think I mentioned this. I don't want to cook to make another judge happy. I'm not trying to make them feel good about my culinary skills, because that's never going to happen. My culinary skills are just to fight off starvation. That's the threshold of my cooking experience. I'm thankful, you know, my dad's been down here, and glad that they're here. I'm glad he's here because he can cook a steak better than I can. He can cook a hamburger better than I can. My parent, you know, my family, my wife and my kids, they say, "Oh, yours are good." No, my dad's are good. Mine will help you fight off starvation. That's it. Your tongue's not going to jump up and down and do somersaults with my cooking. And yet all these cooking shows and cleaning shows and reality competitions and all that are for somebody else to give them a stroke of affirmation. And everybody goes off in tears because there's only one person that's going to get that affirming vote that, yeah, you're the real deal. God wants us to be the real deal. He wants us to walk in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Don't be a slave to someone else's impression of how you measure up. Okay. He says, "Do not say a conspiracy concerning that all this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow." So we are not living bound by fear. We're not living afraid of threats. We're not afraid of the intimidation. By the way, intimidation and manipulation, those are demonic. Those are demonic. There's no place for that in the house of God. There's no place in that in your personal house. Don't live that way. That's tactics that are used by a weak person, not a strong person. Just because they have more people siding with them does not make it any less an indication of weakness. It is God says, "Here I am. I'm holy. I'm righteous. You can choose. I have made an offer of salvation to you. You can choose to embrace it. You can choose to reject it. You make the choice, but I'm still holy." And so he goes on to say, these are the ways that we are to live. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. That's an old term that says live in holy deference to him. Live in his presence knowing that he's holy. That means he's set apart not for common purposes, but for sacred purposes. For the most glorious of purposes. He's set apart for something special. And so I want God, I'm so thankful. He's not a paper plate. He's that finest of china that is available for you and I to see the difference between that which is craft. You know, he is the master craftsman. Everything he makes is priceless. It's got tremendous value. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Says he will be as a sanctuary. So I try and help people to understand this. It is not that we are to be afraid of God, but we are supposed to recognize that he has such tremendous value that we do not ever want to let him down. Would it help if maybe we viewed temptation in a slightly different way? Instead of looking at it as something that is going to gratify the flesh, what if we flip that coin on its head and say, the devil is trying to tempt me to live in a manner that is going to be disappointing to God. To God. It's not going to be able to be done in secret. It's done with his full awareness. You know, when I think of the fact that we are going to have to give an account for every word and every action, it keeps me repentant, because I want God to be Lord over that. I don't want to have to be ashamed of anything. I want as little amount of wood, hay, and stubble in my life as I can. I want as much gold and metal and precious stone, things that are going to bring glory to God. I want as much of that in my life as possible. He will be a sanctuary. God is a safe place. That's what that word sanctuary means. It means a safe place. It means a holy place. It's a place that we can retreat to when we are in a serious storm. When my brother turned 13, we had a tornado, that warning that came over the town we were living in. And we were in the backyards and we were watching the clouds, and my mother said, you know, I really don't like the looks of those clouds. Y'all had better go into the bathroom and put a mattress over you, and because that was our safe place. That's what they tell you to do, because there's pipes. It's considered the safest place. And so while I was on my way to the sanctuary, I looked out the front window and I saw that the tornado was already on the ground. Fortunately, it was moving away from us. It landed maybe 75 or 100 feet away from us. It was very, very close. Very, very close. And, you know, if it had been coming the other direction, if it had landed just a little bit prematurely, I wouldn't be here. Because it really was that close. It was a powerful, powerful storm that devastated the area of town that we lived in. A relative of mine ended up with a steel rod that just barely missed the gas tank of her vehicle as she was driving down the road. It was a powerful storm. And so I would encourage you today that if you have been thinking you're invincible, that you've had plenty of time, I want you to rethink that position and say, you know what? I think I'm going to take my place in the sanctuary of God. I'm going to say yes to his offer of salvation as soon as possible. I'm not going to wait till the last minute. I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity as soon as I can. You know, as a believer, the regrets I have in my life are not the opportunities that I used for God. They are the opportunities that I missed taking advantage of. And so I am very thankful that God is a sanctuary. So I want to encourage you, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, do so today. Take advantage of the sanctuary that is offered to you. In verse 16, it says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord. You and I need to be familiar with the Word of God. And I'm going to take that a step further. You don't just need to be familiar with the preaching of the Word. You don't need to just be familiar with the teaching of the Word. You need to be familiar with the Word of God and the author of that Word. You need to know Jesus. And it says, seal the law, bind up the testimony, make sure that it's in a secure place. And he says, I'm going to wait on the Lord. And some people think that that just means that they're just going to sit around and twiddle their thumbs. That's not the picture that I get from the scriptures at all. It says that we are supposed to occupy, that we are supposed to make the most out of every opportunity. And while we are looking for him, we will wait on him. We will wait patiently on him, but we will wait. We will do his bidding. It says, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. I will hope in him. God is not a depressing God. I'm not here wringing my hands about whatever's coming, you know, our way. I'm not doing that, because my hope is in a higher power. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in God. Hope is not wishful thinking. It is a confidence. It is a confidence. I remember hearing a story about Jack Nicklaus when he was playing in a tournament, and his partner was another well-known golfer, and they were playing in a certain format, and both of them got to hit shots, and his playing partner missed a putt, but it was relatively close. And in that sort of tournament format, you would want to leave that one where it was so that he would have the opportunity to knock it in should the other one go by. And Jack Nicklaus said, go ahead and pick that up. And he said, don't you want to leave that in case you miss the putt? And he said, I'm not going to miss the putt. And, you know, for me, if we're on the golf course, that's not the mindset I have. I just don't have that kind. I don't play that frequently to have that sort of confidence. But Jack Nicklaus, and you, some might say, well, that's kind of arrogant. No, he just knew his golf game. And by the way, he made the putt. Today, I don't want you to have your confidence in me. Don't have your confidence in me. I'll let you down. Don't have your confidence in a politician. They'll let you down. Besides that, they'll lie to you, and then they'll let you down. The only person that you can have confidence in is Jesus Christ. And here's what Isaiah concludes with. As for, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders in Israel. And so I want to encourage you today. Let's be a sign. Let's not do everything the way the world does it. Let's say, this is the way God wants it done. Everybody take a look. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without it. Leave me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an